Do you ever feel like that you are being bombarded with bad news? The other day I went to the doctor, my wife and I, she don't let me go to the doctor anymore by myself. She thinks that my GPS is broken and I can't find my way back to the house. And she always goes with me and goes in to make sure that I don't lie to the doctor, I suppose. And so I was feeling pretty good when I went to the doctor the other day. She and I was just sitting there having a good time. And I went in because I've got a golf elbow. Now, I don't play very much golf, but I have a golf elbow. And they asked me, the little lady walked in and asked me, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, "Well, my elbow's hurting." "Do you feel all right everywhere else?" "Oh, yeah." And she began to ask me how many surgeries I've had. And I told her, and my wife and I went through all of it and asked me how much medication I was taking each day, how many prescriptions I had. And after I explained all that, I got to feeling real bad. And and I told the young lady, I said, "Ma'am, it'd be all right with me if you just leave because you've messed up my whole day. I am tired of bad news. If there's not an oil spill in the Gulf, there's one underneath my car." And it's amazing. If we spend as much time looking for a remedy as we did finding fault, we might have the plug thing plugged by now. You know, and then wars and rumors of wars, you know. Israel sinks the flotilla. That really worried me. And North Korea sinks South Korea's ship. That worries me. Iraq and Afghanistan, they already sunk. So I don't know what in the world I can help you with today. I know, you know, you don't see any fraudulent facts in our media, such as the great rise in unemployment. Now, we don't have as much unemployment according to what the facts are, and I know that because of the unemployment rate went down, it's not because government hiring went up. I know that, so I don't have to worry about that. And I know that the bailouts are still bailing out the CEOs and crooked politicians. Just ain't none of it landed over at my house in the last little while. And I know our Constitution embraces three wonderful branches of government, and they're put there for checks and balances. You know that, don't you? So if one branch is crooked, the other two won't be. You know, if the executive branch is not crooked, then it can take care of the judicial branch, which is not crooked, which can take care of the legislation branch, which could never be crooked, because I just realized that since you have a bunch of humanistic liberals running all three of them, we might be in trouble. Amen. Bad news. It's all I've heard lately. Bad news. Even the jokes we tell. I got a good news, bad news joke. You know what those are? The good news is bad, and the bad news is worse. Had any bad news lately? I thought I'd just drop by today to tell you some good news. You know, I'm so tired of bad news. Wouldn't it be good to hear some good news? You know what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth? There was having a little mix-up and a little bit of questions about the resurrection. And Paul said, "I thought I'd just drop you a line to let you know that it is not as bad as you think." He writes to them in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." The gospel, the word gospel, is probably used by more people and misunderstood more than any other word in the English language. the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that you do not have to die and go to hell. Good news is you do not have to take the consequences of your great, great, great grandparents, Adam and Eve. It is good news. There's hope in sight. And Paul is writing to this church and said, hey, church, I have some great news for you. Could any of you stand some good news? Could any of you stand realizing that the oil slick is not going to affect heaven at all? Would it be good news to realize that the judicial branch and the legislative branch and the executive branch are not going to be in session in heaven? Would it be all right if you just heard this morning, bless God, that Washington is not in control, heaven is in control? I've got some good news for you today, and it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've always said the greatest pill for the world's worst ill has still got to be the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Look at that verse 1. The gospel. What a wonderful word. The gospel. Which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also ye are saved. Can anybody say amen? Man, I'm glad I'm saved. You say, preacher, I don't understand saved. Do you understand lost? You don't have to be a theologian to understand that saved, it sounds a whole lot better than lost. You do not have to have a PhD in theology. You do not have to have more degrees than a thermometer to realize anybody would rather be saved as lost. And the Bible said we're saved by the gospel. Romans 1, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank God, power, dynamite of God, 40 some years ago. Back yonder in Farmers Branch, Texas, I bowed my knee and my heart at my couch on Thursday night, and I bowed a hellbound sinner full of greed and hate and disgust and anger. I bowed a hellbound sinner, and the gospel of God, the power of God, blew hell right out of me and stuck heaven in its place, and I stood up a heavenbound saint. You say, I don't understand that. Don't have to. Just get it. Just get you a whole bunch of that because it'll help you when the bad news begin to flow. Notice he says, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you received it in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. You need to get that. You need to get that. Christ didn't die to be a martyr. Christ didn't die so that you could have a cross hang around your neck to ward off vampires. Christ didn't die so that you might have an extra piece of jewelry that you can hang about your neck or on your keychain. Christ died for your sin. That's why he went to Calvary. He went to Calvary for you and me, for our sins. Can anybody say amen? Amen? You say, well, preacher, I'm not used to saying amen in my church. You're not in your church. You're in our church. Say amen, bless God. And somebody say, well, I might get used to it and go back home and say it and get kicked out. Good, we take members every service. I'm going to get loose, but I'm really nervous right now. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel in biblical interpretation is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins and for our justification. good news. Man, I like good news, don't you? Paul kind of clears it up a little bit and puts it on a personal basis over in Romans chapter 10 where he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I got great news for you today. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, and if you believe that Jesus Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb, and if you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the Bible says you can be saved. No matter where you've gone, what you've done, who you've done it to, or how long you did it, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, you can be saved. You do not have to leave today lost. If you believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Good news. Good news, man. I remember in the Bible one time there was a bunch of shepherds keeping sheep in the desert by night. And suddenly the Bible says there was a heavenly host appeared to them. I don't know about you, but I'd have faked to shout and ran. That has scared me to death. And the Bible says that the angels told the shepherds, behold, I bring good tidings of great joy. Is that not so? Well, I'd like to know where all that joy went in the average Baptist church. I bring you great tidings of great joy. And the Bible went on to say in verse 10, which shall be to all people, bless your heart. Thank God the gospel knows no secular or racial or color boundaries. Thank God the gospel works on all breeds. Can you say amen? And it works on all of them, on all people. And then the Bible said the shepherds believed it, just simply believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And verse 20 said, and the shepherds returned glorified and praising God for the thing that they had heard and seen. Hey, I'm glad the gospel's good news. And it replaces that old drab lifestyle with something that is wonderful. Now, I cannot, in my limited amount of education, and some of you say, yeah, I already noticed that in your English. Well, I would speak Spanish or Hebrew, but you couldn't understand it. They would, but you wouldn't. And I know a little Greek. He lived around the corner from my house up there. I cannot, with my limited education and limited intellect, cannot tell you all that the gospel has done. If I were to go through the Word of God from back to cover and just tell you the glorious things and the wonderful, miraculous changes that the gospel has been made in individuals, in cities, in communities, Samaria, wide world revival. If I cannot tell you all that the gospel has done, but I can tell you some things that the gospel has undone. I can tell you some things that the gospel has undone. I was sitting at my desk this week. Secretary brought an email to my desk and just laid it on my desk. I'm writing to let you know how much we love and appreciate your ministry. You are an inspiration of faith and steadfastness to us. Amen. The teaching and the training we received from you in our first years of Christian life and service have been a blessing to us over the years. You are and always will be our pastor. We love you. In January 2011, we will celebrate our 40th anniversary of being a Christian. We received Christ under your ministry at Joy Baptist Temple. I even remember the Bible text you preached from that morning. John 19:5-14. Behold the man. Behold the king. Preacher, I met Jesus, the man, that morning. And he became Christ, my king. Thank you for leading me to Christ and for your friendship and prayers and support these past 40 years. His kids rode our buses 40 years ago. He was a bouncer down at the bar on Berry Street. He's a black belt jiu-jitsu. I guess that's what you call him. I met him. He didn't know how to smile. Raised in an alcoholic home. Going with his father. Out on the hill where the old Arlington Baptist College is now. Used to be a gambling and an outlaw hideout where Bonnie and Clyde and many of the other outlaws of that day hung out. This was the meanest man you could ever imagine. And he walked down the aisle of our church. And I saw God undo what the devil had done. He's a missionary in Brazil and has been for 37 years. I can never describe for you what the gospel has done. But I can sure tell you a lot of things that it has undone. Trophies of grace decorates the pews of this church. We have not been busy trying to proselyte church members from other good churches. We've been trying to reach into the pits of hell and drag those ones out with compassion and love and concern. The fellow who prayed a moment ago, I don't want to get you scared of him. If you talk to Jim a little while, Jim will tell you, be afraid of Bobby. I don't know what all the gospel has done. But I could have them stand up the rest of this day of old outlaws and streetwalkers and barflies, gang fighters, good men, fine ladies that could stand up and tell you what the gospel has undone in their life. Oh, good news. Good news. I have about 2 or 3 minutes, and I want to give you kind of a personal testimony of the things that the gospel took care of in my life. I know you think I've always worn a suit and been as suave and polished as I am now. I bet you think that. You can tell by looking. My wife dresses me well. But I've not always had a halo above my head. What a terrible, wicked, ungodly person I used to be. The hurt to my families, the disappointment to my dear mama, the visits to the jail, and my dad said, I ought to leave you in here. I can't tell you all it has done. But can I give you just three things in passing what the gospel has undone in my life? Number one, the gospel has taken care in my life of that last enemy called death.
Amen.
Don't dread that booger no more. The Bible said the last enemy is death. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26, the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. There's not one family here today, I don't care how godly you are, you fear death walking into your house and snatching one of your loved ones away. You say, well, I'm saved. Yeah, but you love them too. I thought I had all the answers, and one day I was standing at the head of a casket and I was consoling the family as they came by. And one dear wife came by, and I just put my arm around her neck and just going to show her how smart I was and how deep I was in the Word of God and how spiritual I was. And she just broke down looking at her past husband. And I said, well, honey, you don't need to cry. He's not there. She looked at me and said, but I loved his body too. I got a large education that day. I don't have all the answers. And I don't care who you are. Nobody, but nobody wants to face death head on because of the gospel. Because Jesus died and was buried and rose again. I don't have to worry and fear death no more.
Amen.
Old Dr. Dwight L. Moody said years ago, 100 years ago, when he was just a kid, and of course I was raised in the country in a small town. Some of you might remember this, not 100 years ago, but it's getting close now. But all the churches had veils in those days. And when someone would die in the community, the bell would ring for the number of years that they'd spent on the earth. And Dr. Moody said, I've heard the bell chime many times. And I've heard it count to my exact age, and then stop. And said, chill bumps would run all over me because it could be chiming for me. And then he said one day, down at the shoe store, a shoe clerk opened the Word of God and showed me how to be saved and showed me the glorious gospel. And he said, I haven't been scared of the bell ringing one time since I got saved. You see, the gospel took care of the old last enemy, death. Can anybody say amen? I've been to the graveyard. Yes, I have. And they try to disguise it, do they not? They put all the nice grass around the dirt and they disguise it and camouflage it real good. But I've stayed there and watched the men as they take the shovels and the backhoes and begin to throw the dirt into that hole. Well, I want you to know, it's not very much to look forward to, just an empty hole in the ground. But since I got saved, I'm looking for a hole in the sky and not one in the ground. I'm not looking for the undertaker. Bless God, I've got great hopes on the uppertaker. And I'm telling you today, bless God, because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Little girl playing outside went running the house crying, Mama, Mama, I've been stung. Look here at my hand. I've been stung. A bee has stung me. And the mama looked at it, and embedded it deep in the palm of the little girl's hand was that stinger out of that bee. Mama looked at her and said, honey, don't have to worry anymore. That booger won't hurt anybody else. Because the stinger is in your hand. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. But the strength of sin is the law. Thank God the devil has no stinger anymore. The gospel took the stinger out. And I, the child of God, don't have to worry about the death walking into my life. Because death will be nothing but a graduation service where I get me a brand new glorious body like his. Now, I don't know what it's done, but I can tell you what it's done in my life. Death has no sting. I preached my father's funeral. And they said, well, you don't care. You didn't cry as much as the rest of us. I might have known where my daddy was going. Death to the child of God ought to be a graduation service. It'll be a time of celebration. Can you say amen? I'm done just about. It took care of sin in my life. Took care of that old last enemy, death. But I'll tell you something else. It took care of that second enemy, and that sin. Amen. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, and I believe it, on verse 56. Verse 56 in that same text says these words. It says to me, the sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but if your grandparents have not had any children, neither would you. You do know that, don't you? Is anybody here surprised? Your grandparents had not had any children, neither would you. Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world. His name was Adam. So death has passed upon all men. The only reason you got to die is because of sin. And not your sin necessarily, but the sin of your great-great-great-grandparents who were representative of the human race, and they disobeyed God, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. And the strength of sin is death. You're not going to miss it. I don't care how many facelifts you have. You're going to get old. And death is a result of age. That's the reason I told that woman, that doctor the other day, shut your mouth, get out of the room. I don't know how bad I feel. The strength of sin is the law. And the law condemns every individual on this earth. Sin must be paid for. And the strength of sin is the law. Because by the law, we have the knowledge of sin. The law has never been intended to save us. The law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It's a mirror we look in, and it says to you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As you look into God's Word, the commandment is given that sin might be exceedingly sinful, bless your heart. And so, the strength of sin is the law. I came to Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, freed me from that law, took away the sin of that law, took away the sting of sin, and I stand before you today justified, saved, forgiven, and on my way to heaven, and sin no longer has dominion in my life, no longer has a claim in my life, and I have been saved. I don't know what the gospel can do, but I know what it's undone. Isn't it amazing? You know, I've had all the booze I wanted since I've been saved. It's just that the gospel changed my water. I've hung out at the beer joints and had all the fist fights and arm wrestled all I want to for the next setup since I've been saved. It just, the gospel took care of the sin in my life. It changed my desires. If any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all kinds have become new. And I have been forgiven. Aren't you glad of that? Hey, that's good news. Anybody sorry as Terry Hayes needed to be saved? Anybody sorry as Bobby Isbell? In fact, I still question whether God could save anybody as mean as Bobby Isbell. Bobby will tell you, before he got saved, he didn't even know how to love. He'll tell you that. He'll tell you, he'd never been shown how to love. And he just did not know how to love. Gospel took care of that. You got that? When I met Bobby, I should have charged him twice as much for the dog I sold him because he's so sorry. But boy, what a difference the gospel makes. Amen. Took care of sin. I'm closing. Now, the last enemy that the gospel took care of my life is the judgment. I hate to go to court. You know, I don't care what kind of attorney you got, I don't like going to court. And I have always feared standing before God and hearing these words, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity," because I qualified for that. Ye worker of iniquity. And then God say to the angels in charge, "Cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." I've always dreaded that. I read the Revelation one time. It scared me to death. And I read Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and he who sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of those things written in those books. And the sea gave up the dead within death, and hell delivered the dead within them. And they were judged out of those things written in the books." So, dear God, I hope God never opens a book in my life and makes me answer for all the dirty, rotten, foul things that I did. Amen. And I read it, and it said the books were opened. And they were judged out of those things written in the books. And the Bible said, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death." I tell you the truth, folk. Before I met the gospel, I wasn't man enough to stand before God and answer for my ungodly life. And I want to tell you the truth. I kind of dreaded the great white throne judgment. I kind of dreaded the angels taking me by the nape of the neck and the seat of the breeches and casting me in to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. At night, sometimes that would be in my dreams, and sometimes I'd think about that. But I want to share something with you. October 27, 1966. On my knees in my couch, I said, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner on my way to hell. And if you'll forgive me, come into my heart and save me. I'd sure appreciate it." You say, that's not a King James prayer. It's a King Jean prayer. And I stood up, saved. No longer fearful of death. No longer having sin dominion over my life. And no longer fearing the judgment of God. I don't know what the gospel has done, but I can tell you what it's undone. I like Western movies. Anybody here like Western movies? I think anybody in Hollywood that wasted time making any kind of movie that didn't have a horse in it, and a gun, and a saloon, and it's just absolutely, they're godless to do that. Years ago, I don't know if you know this, but on the prairies, every once in a while they'd have a prairie fire. Have you ever been out on the prairie and watched the wind blow? A wind that's blowing 40 miles an hour moves fire at the same distance, same speed. And many a great cowboy have lost their lives in the fires on wild prairie fires because they could not escape the speed of the fire. One cowboy of such was running from a prairie fire. This was written in his diary after he had gone, and the fire was catching him. The wind was absolutely turbulent, and he is running his steed as fast as he could, and his horse was getting very tired, and he had nowhere to go. So he had the bright idea. He just got off his horse and lit a fire. The wind began to blow, move the fire. He got on his horse and started following the fire that he had built. The wildfire came to where he had built the fire and just stopped. And he said in his diary, "I was saved from the fire because I stood in the place that had already been burnt. I stand at Calvary. I do not stand in my own righteousness. I do not stand in my own deeds. I stand in a place of judgment, and God's judgment fell at Calvary, and judgment is all done." I thought I'd just drop by today to share with you some good news. If you're not saved, don't leave this place today until you've stood where Jesus stood and accept the gospel which is able to save your soul by the power of God.